CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The North America Wrestling Connection, the worldwide leader in talk entertainment for over 5 years running.
Yay!
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
your four-time Emmy-winning WWE Superstars commentating Scott Stanford.
He ran into the ring, beat 19 other men, and now for just one night, he's SmackDown's new GM. I've always got his back. You can say I'm loyal. The highs, the lows, right through the battle royal. Now Z is heating up. His fame is out of sight. I know he's got a spot for his boy on Friday night.
Are you serious, bro?
Alas, not even the power of Zach Down can give us Scott Stanford on TV. And I hate to say it, but even Jomo got more FaceTime on somebody's, on most people's screens than Scott Stanford did. So, good evening, gentlemen, and good evening, interwebs. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the recently restored WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. Apologies for not being here last week. I blame Michael Cole. And I can blame him for damn near anything, right?
What a tool bag.
I wonder who's more responsible for bringing WrestleChat.net down, Michael Cole or New Jack?
Actually, we will look into that in a moment. I may as well introduce the rest of the rabble around me. Let's start with the man with the New Jack information, VRM.
No, this is more of an inside joke with my show. New Jack constantly kicked us off on the other side of things, so we were hoping we left him on the other website.
Okay. Let's see. And apparently, somewhere on a microphone is our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier.
Yeah, Michael Cole. What the F was that? Honestly.
And my current fourth is, of course, fourth.
Between how surprisingly good Destination X is and between the track record of Money in the Bank, I just want to say that this two-week span is full of win, or this week span, or however long it is.
Well, you know, there was apparently enough news out there to crash WrestleChat.net for a couple of days. I won't blame Michael Cole. I'm going to blame their new tech.
Honey.
Whoops, not me. That was not me. I know I've got an idiot at the audio board too.
My bad.
Yep. So, thankfully the website was only down for about a day and a half. They were anticipating it to take even longer.
I just don't know what went wrong.
And thus the front page said oops for about a day and a half.
If only they had the Derpy Wrench GIF on there.
There you go.
Derpy.
Or at least, you know, if they were going to do that, they may as well have had the blue screen of Derp up on the front page. Let's see. Speaking of snafus, actually, I'm going to start over here. As if TNA didn't need any other reason to turn off more viewers, despite the fact that their product is improving, as Forth mentioned, with the what appeared to be a very good Destination X pay-per-view, and probably a decent impact, that's not going to show in the ratings. Thank you, Viacom. Thank you very, very, very much. Okay, who here is affected by that? Anybody?
Not me.
I have Fios. No,
ma'am.
Okay, so you're good. VRM's good. Forth, what do you got?
I have Verizon.
Okay. And I have Dish, so it didn't affect me, but my TV was not turned on either.
Our DirecTV friends are...
They're SOL at the moment.
The end result gave poor TNA their lowest rating in quite some time, because I was going to make the joke that even with DirecTV trying to with Viacom sabotaging it, they were still going to pull a 1.0, but they did not. They pulled a 0.85. Which is a shame given that Bobby Roode's "I'm so pissed off, I don't know what to say" promo.
This!
It sounded like Jim Williams after a handful of pony sounds.
Blessed him after eating 50 tacos. Oh, sorry.
Between that, Joseph Park having an abyssal moment. Yes, I went there. And did I get any? Was there any other good stuff? I unfortunately did not see the show.
The ninjas.
More ninjas. Is that the Aces and Eights thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And it's gonna suck if TNA actually dies because of Viacom and not by anything they've done to themselves. Yeah, I know, that was kind of mean.
Yeah.
And actually, the ninja struck again. I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
En route to, let's see, yeah, here it is. WWE superstars Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, and ring announcer Justin Roberts were involved in a car accident just outside of downtown San Diego Friday afternoon, just after 5 p.m. Pacific. They were traveling in a limousine. The three were rear-ended as they were transported from Comic-Con to the as they were being transported from Comic-Con. Okay, they were going back to their hotel. Shortly after the accident, all three were reportedly evaluated by paramedics. No serious injuries have been reported at this time. This includes Dolph Ziggler popping out of the limo and posing for everybody.
I was going to say, I was hoping he would stay in character and show off a little bit.
We'd have that, and then Zack Ryder would jump out, throw his headband down, and scream, "Are you serious, bro?" And Justin would just make funny faces at the news cameras. I speak from experience. Every single picture I've ever taken with Justin Roberts, he's being a doofus behind me. Yes, Justin, I remember. Anyway, but it sounds like the guys are okay. Or at least, they could have sold it. No, well, Ziggler would have sold it. If he didn't jump out and show off, he would have fallen through the... fallen through the passenger front door and then rolled about half a block down the road. But it's a good thing they're okay. Don't scare me like that. Anyway.
At least Jomo wasn't in there, little limo.
No, but he did. He decided to make a brief appearance in the most recent episode of Z Long Island Story, as people were insisting I watch. Guys, you got to warn me whether he's going to have his shirt on or not.
Well, I didn't see it, so I wasn't one of the ones that warned you.
Well, then I get to yell at Tyler. Tyler, Jomo had his shirt on. Ziggler had his shirt on. Zach, thankfully, had his shirt on. What's up with that? I'm going to see Jomo. I'd like to see a little more Jomo. Oh, sorry.
Focus.
I am focused on eight very distinct items. Oh,
Jesus.
He's not here anyway. But seriously, with TNA trying to hit on all cylinders and no, yeah, it's true. If TNA is hitting on all cylinders and nobody's around to see it, does it still draw a rating?
I don't know.
Meanwhile, back on Raw, which got a collective raspberry from the internet.
A certain host had her producer talk about it Monday night. Oh, jeez.
I wasn't available to actually watch it because I was actually in the middle of work.
You might be one of the lucky ones. I personally did not think it was that bad, but there was a few things that they did not need to do. First of all, Cole Lawler, done, finito, end, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to see that anymore.
I sure as hell didn't.
Wait, they're doing Cole Lawler, what?
They did it again.
They did it one more time, but the match was more part of a plot device.
A bad one at that.
Yeah, and something that didn't need a plot device. Because the GM for Raw this past Monday night was the anonymous Raw GM. Laptop and all, Michael Cole and microphone and all. And leaving Santino Marella with the task of going to find out who it is. Now, Carl, I think what made this a fail was the fact that they didn't give Santino enough to work with.
Mm-hmm.
To the point as always, sir.
I'm waiting until you get to the actual point of the uselessness of Raw.
I'm getting there. Getting there. If you got to see it, did you think they should have done more, say, with the Kali segment, or done, at least given us a continuity point in the fact that Jericho was the first one to go looking for the anonymous general manager?
I definitely would have liked Jericho at least handing him a piece of paper alluding to it being the IP address.
Although I think there might be a tweet out there from Jericho saying, I was going to, and then Orton kicked my head off. But yes, this led to a useless few minutes of Lawler and Cole stinking up the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Santino wandering around, still wandering around outside of the ring, finally trying to figure out who it is, pausing very conspicuously with his back to the ring apron, where he's grabbed by the ankles and almost yanked under. So somebody grabs his arms, and he comes out with a leprechaun strapped to his ankles. A leprechaun with a laptop.
At that point, the internet collectively groaned.
If I was, I'm sure that if I was on the regular chat room I'm in, I would have heard about at least five different complaints in the next break from the number threes in the room.
And just, unfortunately, it almost felt like the higher power reveal.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Because, I hate to say it, though, the threes would have complained no matter who we told them who the GM was. We don't do this very often on the show, but I'm gonna do a little bit of random booking around here. VRM, if you were asked to write this, who would you have made the anonymous Raw GM?
I'm going through a list of names in my head. If Shane was still with the company, actually, I might have gone the Shane route.
Okay.
Although people that are there, no, they teased Stone Cold the first week. No, I wouldn't have gone Stone Cold.
Okay.
Although the GM did have a habit of stealing people's catchphrases, so and changing every so often when he didn't get it right. So, although The Rock wouldn't really have worked in the anonymous GM slot.
Let's see.
You know what? Screw it. It's Vince.
Well, of course it's Vince.
I'll go with that. I'll agree.
Okay, so let's take it around the table. And Stat Boy Josh Henniger has just joined us. Who would you have pegged for the anonymous Raw GM?
I would have pegged Johnny Ace. That screamed to me like it was the easiest and probably most logical decision. So, unfortunately, or for WWE would never book it.
And they, you know, since his allegations are fulfilled on screen, we can't have another locker room full of finishers on him.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, who do you got?
I would have gone with a bit of a mind screw and go with Foley. I know he was in TNA for most of that time, but it would definitely be kind of an interesting idea to portray him as someone who was, in a sense, a double agent.
That falls under too cool to happen. Let's see, who would I have put there? This is tough because the GM pretty much got everybody at some point. Mm-hmm. Or, no? I think he even got R-Truth, because that would have been funny. No, actually, at the end of the day, I would even be willing that there were a couple of trade-offs between Shawn, Triple H, probably just Shawn and Triple H taking turns.
That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a shout out back to Cyber Sunday 06 and the beginning of the I Just Kick Stan promo.
I love that.
And for the record, I only just recently found out that Stan was Sean Spears.
I've been telling you this for how many years?
And you never told me.
Wow.
You did not.
I've told a lot of people.
You didn't tell me.
Well, neener neener to you, Missy.
is that how it's going to be?
No. I can't hear you. No.
Considering what happened 2 weeks ago, I'm still not completely all here. Dear God, I still have the hoof marks on my chest to prove it.
Never mind. Boo! Anyway. So, they wasted 20 minutes of a decent Raw on that. What was not wasted time was the arrival of a Mr. Bob Backlund. Now, as somebody who hasn't been watching long enough to have actually seen Backlund's work in the ring, but I have had the honor of meeting the man. And he is genuinely that crazy.
If I remember right, you have to recite all the presidents in order just to get his autograph.
Yes, but he will take pictures with you.
Huh.
He will take pictures. In fact, I had caught him when he was still working in TNA.
Oh.
And I handed my camera to somebody, and I had my picture taken while locked in the cross-face chicken wing. And almost either got him thrown out, or I almost got thrown out, because as soon as he had it locked in place, I was screaming for security! But that's beside the point. It was just fun watching him make Heath Slater look stupid. Slater's so much fun to pick on. Where was I going with that? Oh, we've had some good people come in, and I know we've asked this in the last couple of shows. Who else would you like to have show up and kill Slater?
Well, we've got another one more week before Stone Cold finally gets his shot at him.
Yeah, and he's just going to stun. He's just going to stun. He'll stunner Slater. He'll stunner the ref. He'll stunner Cole. Thank you. He might stunner Lawler. If Booker's out there, he's getting stunnered. Then he's going to stunner half the audience and then drink beer, and that's probably going to end the show. Because it has to end with Stone Cold drinking forever. Oh, wait.
To be honest, I wouldn't mind, actually, no, since Michaels will be at Raw 1000, I was going to say it'd be fun to see him super kick Slater.
Actually, there we go. I think he ends up getting flattened by a bunch of people at once. A super kick, a pedigree, a stunner, and then when he's flat on his face, a sharpshooter.
It's gonna be Brett.
Ed 1000.
This upcoming week, I think.
Okay. Because we know that Brett is, we know Brett's confirmed for Raw 1000 along with Rock, along with DX, along with Brock Lesnar. It's a contractual obligation, and it has nothing to do with the two lawsuits. Though, admittedly, we're still trying to get the clause in there to get Uncle Paul the GM job. Working on it.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right. I've actually heard a wild, crazy rumor that it could happen. I'll let you know.
Stay away from my lawyers. Anyway. let's see. Foley is also confirmed for Raw 1000. And here's one from out of... To me, from out of freaking nowhere, Steve Blackman.
The fan boards have probably collectively screamed like a schoolgirl with delight.
Well, that's because they would like to see him kill Slater.
Nonstop kendo sticks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't have Tommy Dreamer, this will do. This will definitely do. Let's see. This week's WWE programming had a slight relocation due to the horrendous wildfires out in Colorado Springs. They went ahead and did everything as one show out in Denver. Now, as somebody who's been to a super show, 4.5 hours of wrestling is a lot.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to get through. I don't think it really affected Zach Down. Yes, I called it. and the wind got taken out of their sails a little bit anyway because of some of the nonsense on Raw. But with that in mind, Stat Boy, would you have liked to have been there?
To be honest, I don't know if I would have liked to be there, probably for the first part, but by that second part, the wrestling would have started wearing thin, because, well, there would be no sense of real direction until the end of the fourth hour, and by then, I'd probably be asleep.
VRM, have you ever been to a show that long?
Yeah, I've been to, I was at the SmackDown ECW taping late August 2007.
Okay.
I was at the I was at a 2006 Raw Super Show at Continental, where Hunter got arrested for Cubans.
I remember this.
Yeah, it's long, and sometimes the crowd gets really antsy when they're getting tired of watching the SmackDown. Because I remember during a match, it was a tag team match. Random tag team is random versus random tag team is random, if I'm not mistaken. where about 90% of the crowd started chanting, "We want Raw."
Oh wow. I bet audio had fun fixing that.
Yeah.
Forrest, how
we
about
also
you?
Also had I think that was also when Hardcore Holly made his return from injury.
Okay.
I went to a SmackDown in 2007 when they were taping that and the new ECW show. And it is quite a long... It feels like a long haul anyway, given how late they have to finish.
Because I've been to a Raw and SmackDown combo show in 06, and I was at one of the early SmackDown ECW tapings where they actually, you know, they had to do stuff. They actually had to do stuff with the set and move the cameras to set up for ECW just to give it a different feel. So you had, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of nothing, short of referees running around restringing cables and restringing the ring ropes and putting on new aprons while they get the cameras moved around, get the curtain. They had this huge black curtain they put up over the SmackDown set because this was, I think they still had the Fistron at the time. And then putting the little metal cage indie fed entrance with all the neon lights in it.
Yeah, I remember them having to do that at my show, considering that was still also the live ECWs at that point.
Yeah. Because I was at one of the matches that was at my ECW show was Brothers of Destruction versus Big Show and the Great Khali.
I had the Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match for the ECW title with Jomo, or was he champion at that time?
Late 07?
August 07.
He was still champion because Punk won it in September because it was over Labor Day weekend. I was at that show, and we chanted, "You're suspended," at Jomo.
Yeah, it was Punk, Big Daddy V, and I forget who else was in the match. All I remember is we had a Mabel chant, and during the Mabel chant, you could see the guy in the DX jersey posing with this stupid little fake WWE belt just because he was wanted to get on camera because for the purposes of like, hey, I'm on TV. That was me. My experience posing with a sign for Edgehead was a lot better later that year and then the following year at a Raw after WrestleMania.
There you go.
Where I actually upstaged Triple H's entrance by walking up behind him with the sign while he was doing the.
That sound, ladies and gentlemen, was a facepalm.
I think we're getting off topic here.
Okay. So, although since we are talking about several different talents, WWE's been doing a little bit of shopping, and we know that they have signed Cara Del Rey. They have signed British wrestler Pac, which unfortunately I still need to go see some footage on him, but I saw a picture of him and I got a Petey Williams vibe off this guy. I heard he's a pretty good all around wrestler though.
Yeah, he originally started as a flippy, a big flippy, as in better than Jack Evans flippy.
Ooh, now okay, you have my attention.
Yeah, he was really flippy. Then he went to Dragon Gate and became a lot better all around.
So
yeah, he's one of the rarities that went over to Japan to actually wrestle there before they went to DGUSA.
Okay. So they've got him signed. There's a lot of speculation regarding Mercedes Martinez, Matt Taven, who I don't know anything, do not know much about, and potentially Matt Morgan.
Huh? Interesting.
Matt Morgan's done with his commitments with TNA, and he's made a couple of cryptic tweets that Make you think. I wouldn't mind him coming back to the E, and maybe, you know, somebody in creative actually give him a chance.
I definitely think they will this time.
I mean, like I said, we don't know 100% for sure. But if he's coming to the Fed, you know, welcome. I would love to have him back. I thought he was horribly misused the first time. I didn't blame him when he left. He went out and really learned his craft, had a nice run in TNA. Now he actually wants to make some money. Excuse me. Sorry, I had a very unwanted visitor in the room. Okay. But getting all these people in, sometimes it turns into somebody has to go. But I don't know. Is she staying or is she going? Karma's a bitch and she's not telling us anything.
Haven't they done this in the past with at least a few other wrestlers that eventually came back? A la Jericho and a few others?
Well, it's just really weird, because now her stuff's on the alumni page.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a comment about that, and then news started floating around that she was supposed to be released on Friday. But all this stuff started breaking on Thursday, so, you know, now all the dirt sheets are trying to cover their asses. So I posed the question. I'll start with you, VRM. If WWE loses Karma, you know, what does this do for the holding pattern that's been going on with the Divas division?
To be honest, I haven't been paying too much attention to the Divas division right now. And right now, if she was supposed to be released today, corporate has nothing on her.
Fair enough. And somebody made the point that this might just be a ruse. You think she crashes Raw 1000, Stat Boy?
She might just be the 1000. She might just wind up showing up. But I'm not entirely sure anymore. Seriously, it's real, real confusing. Because she was supposed to be back months ago. Now, because of everything that's come up, I don't know if she's ever going to show up again. And to be honest, she's never even had a match in the WWE. Not a single solitary match. So I would hope that she eventually comes back. Because if she doesn't, that's going to be pretty much one of the biggest disappointments in wrestling history. What if?
Exactly. And the fact that she's been working so hard to get back, I can't see, you know, forth. I don't know what could have happened at this point that would have, you know, would have set her up for termination. Would it be a mutually amicable departure, since, you know, maybe Karma's seen just what they've been doing with the Divas division, which is absolutely nothing?
Yeah, I can definitely think to myself that she has seen what they've done the last few months, that they don't really have much direction, and really, the one diva that they actually want to use is not even in the championship hunt. So I can't really blame her if she wanted to leave.
And speaking of said diva, who is taking all of the diva's time, actually there was a lot of complaints about this ham and cheese sandwich that was going on in the opening segment of Raw this week. Because this was some serious ham and some serious cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Between AJ proposing to Punk, then Brian trying to break it up by proposing to AJ, they didn't go to the logical conclusion that Punk should have proposed to Brian. There is a wonderful Photoshop comic of this somewhere on the fan boards. that ends in a Photoshop of Punk and Brian kissing. Anyway, but so let's see. VRM, you didn't see it. So, Forth, was this ham and cheese really necessary?
Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I get the idea that it's basically that Brian and Punk have constantly dragged people in, but it feels very much like she's become the focal point. Not the championship, not Punk or Brian, just AJ.
And I'm gonna that's gonna figure prominently in something when I get down to pick 'em. So, Statboy, do you feel that this is detracting from the fact that this is part of a championship match?
Just a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what else to say here at this point. Seriously, I'm completely confused as to where they're going. I just hope that it ends Sunday.
At least that section of it, I hope that ends Sunday. I hope the feud doesn't end Sunday because we still haven't gotten our Iron Man yet!
God damn it.
I knew you were going to say that. And VRM, when we get to Pick'ems, I'm going to be leaning in that direction. You'll see. So, but, you know, it was goofy. I agree it was goofy. Yeah, that's the last... Somebody sent me the last panel. Yeah, but that's the last panel of the whole comic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. As we mentioned, as I mentioned earlier, San Diego Comic-Con is in full swing, and we almost lost three wrestlers at it. They weren't the only ones that were over there. Since all of the taping, all of the recording duties had been taken care of on Monday, the wrestlers were free and clear to do some stuff, so Sheamus decided to jump in on a panel at San Diego Comic-Con. And was promptly crashed by Alberto Del Rio. VRM, this did not have the punch of the Triple H Punk encounter from last year. Did it? Or have you seen it?
I have not seen it, so I can't comment.
Okay. Either of you guys seen the video?
Nope.
I have not.
I hate to admit it, I haven't watched it either, but just at the thought of it, it's not as, the word I like to use, organic as what we had last year with Hunter and Punk just because of Punk's status at that point. So, nice idea, throw the fans a bone, but it's not going to have the punch that CM Punk just showing up and taunting Triple H last year. It's just not the same. I had been handed a rumor that RVD and Ms. Testmacher would be at Comic-Con, but that means they would either be there today or at some point over the weekend.
I think she was there because on her Twitter she had a photo of her in her ring gear, but made up to look like a zombie.
And Rob would have been there whether TNA wanted him there or not. That's just his thing. Since I know he doesn't. I don't believe Five Star Comics is still in business, but. It kind of fascinates me that, you know, we, as far as I know, TNA didn't talk about it on TV. And like you said, you saw the one picture of Brooke all done up, but we didn't know where at the con, we didn't know when at the con. That'd be kind of nice to know. But I don't have the program in front of me, so I'm just going to skip that part. What else have I got in this noise? Did that. Oh, we're getting through stuff kind of quick tonight. I didn't mean us to be moving that fast.
Oh,
really?
Dear God. May I have your attention, please?
Oh, here we go.
I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my ooh-yah.
Your what?
What?
Your what? There better be a link in there, Stab Boy. I gotta see this.
Just a second. This is actually something that I got a hold of a little bit too quickly, apparently.
For the record, no, I am not Hornswoggle. I was attempting to get my seat back, but they wouldn't let me in the building Monday night. So I'm stuck with you guys. Oh, you poor baby. I bet you at least get paid. Anyway, what else has he got here? Let's see. I'm sure after the events on Monday, you were expecting me to take a hiatus a la Davey Richards in Ring of Honor. You guys are stuck with me for the time being. And now for the good news. Smartass. No, you didn't save 15% on your car insurance. Stupid ads. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to go out to WWE for donating $10,000 to the Red Cross to assist in the Colorado wildfires. And I tried to do my part today. I gave blood. So I think we're going to take a break and ponder a few things. Gentlemen, the restrooms are open and there's refreshments waiting. If you guys want to take a couple of minutes, we're going to sell some soap and we'll be back with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. If you're not tuned in to CLW83.com, you're missing out on all of this.
Oh, what a catch some guy made for the Angels just now off of this. Number 27, oh, I don't know.
That's Trout!
Yes, Mike Trout.
How
just
dare you!
Can't sorry.
Catch Trout.
And yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
The password is splooge.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not want. Nikki! Nikki!
Brain bleach!
I started this endeavor joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses, and then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
CLW83.com. Log on and tune in. Williamsware is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com, click the CLW83 Wear button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Total Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hello, this is DC Lundberg, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Channel 3, sing along with Jim.
Oh, no!
And welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the still-functioning WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I'm here with Statboy Josh Henniger, VRM, and Forth. Now, as you know, the internet is this wonderful phenomenon that Vince apparently has only just figured out. And has gone on social media overdose with this thing called Raw Active. Now, I've got in front of me the list of the sites that they are trying to get, that they're getting their mitts on for us to all get involved with the WWE. We all know about Twitter, and we all know about Facebook. And we know about YouTube because of their new channel. Now, just some of the weird ones that they picked, that they decided to pick out. Shazam, Instagram, Google Plus, that's not too terribly weird. Get Glue, Pinterest.
What?
And then there's Tout. Now, WWE is throwing money at them. And apparently, you know, like I said, this was the first time I'd ever heard of Tout. This is essentially video Twitter. 15 seconds at a time. So, I just, you know, I wonder, is Raw going to turn into a great big, you know, a Fox News program where we got shit streaming at the bottom and up in each corner so that all we got is a ring in the little bitty center of it so that, you know, if you want to see it that way, you got to watch it in standard def? I don't want my Raw like that. Anyway,
I understand, but dear God, this is not going to look good. Not at all.
I don't even use half of these sites. Now, granted, I am not the target audience anymore. But some of you guys fall into... No, you guys are... No, everybody here is over 16.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, how much of this crap are any of us gonna mess with? Statboy, you're a computer guy. How much of this do you mess with?
Very little. I mess with YouTube a little. I mess with Twitter a little. I've got, well, one account on there. I used to have two, but the other one kind of went womp womp. But, well, I'll explain that here at the end of the program. And Facebook, of course. Google Plus, I signed up for an account. I've never used it. Tout, never heard of it. Shazam, I've heard of, but that's about it because of Ellen. Yes, I watch Yonda Denner's show at work. Go figure. And then Get Glue, I've barely heard of, and Pinterest, same deal. So I use three of them, and only two of them on any regular basis.
There we go. Forth, what's your social media footprint look like?
Mainly a little bit of Facebook, not too much on Twitter. Mostly YouTube, so just three.
VRM, how about you?
I have a Facebook that I don't use, a YouTube channel that I just use to make sure I don't get too many ads. And that's actually about it.
Yeah, I'm not much better. I've got a Twitter account that I don't monitor as much as I used to, and I should. I have my Facebook account, of course. I have a YouTube account. I think Well, no, I have to have a Google Plus account because that was the only way I could get a hold of anybody because they decided to completely take over Android market. GetGlue, I've heard of. I think, I want to say Jim Williams actually has played with it. It just sounds like internet stickers, and I'm like, okay, that's just stupid.
Yeah, GetGlue is definitely internet stickers. And Pinterest is internet a flare, if you know what I mean.
Not really.
Office Space flare.
Oh, jeez. And Instagram is essentially like Tumblr, isn't it?
Yeah. Instagram is Imgur, except for with stupid filters.
Oh, okay. And Shazam, I know, is music-related, and I don't use it. So, you know, I'm outside of the target audience range. I'm not going to use half of this crap, although I was reading somewhere on the fan boards where people were talking about it, and somebody mentioned another site that does something similar to Tout, just that the video stream is longer. It's like 20-something seconds. To be honest, VRM, I think 15 seconds in some cases might be too much. Let's see. Stat Boy, you saw some of the touts they ran on SmackDown. No, sorry, you were at work.
Yeah.
Fourth. They played some touts on ZackDown tonight.
Yes.
What'd you think?
It's not that bad. It's not terrible, but given that they have oversaturated with social media, it just feels like one of those, just one more on the pile.
And I think they stuck with the shorter video length because that makes it easier to check. Because unlike TNA and their live Twitter feeds, WWE is going to be watching this shit real close. Because you know there's going to be number threes and there's going to be trolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of trolls. I lumped them in with the troll who was at ZackDown that held up a sign that said, hey, it's Monday. Points for originality, but that sign did not last long. Let's see. While we are on the subject of the social media, Vince McMahon, I wish I could have been in the office when Vince McMahon heard the news that his social media ambassador rage quit Twitter. I'm sorry, 7.5 million followers, the only way you're out of Twitter is on a rage quit. You can't tell me that, you know, this is something that he was thinking. He was just, you know, he's thinking, you know, this Twitter stuff is just not doing me any good. Nah, I think I better shut it down. No, it's like, just screw you all, I'm gone. So, this leaves WWE scrambling. Or, I almost wish I had Jason or DJ on for this part. Does Vince go sue the pants off of Charlie Sheen? Actually, that's probably a poor way of putting it.
I was going to say, if it does result in a lawsuit, I hope someone tells Charlie Sheen about the name Vince had for 13 years. Because if he called his boss by his real name, you know he'll be using Vinnie Lupton in interviews to no end.
And this is one of those things where Vince decides to go get a cheap impersonator. So... expect 10 minutes of Raw 1000 to be this. Some doof in ratty clothes screaming winning every 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can definitely see this getting a boring chant.
If they go on par it. With, would we say it'll be on par with the, I'm not sure which one was worse, the president impersonators or
Rosie versus Trump. Rosie versus Trump was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
The presidential ones don't stick in my head as much. but I would hope that they could get some random jobber done up as Shane to go out there and act stupid for about 2 minutes, and then he gets killed by Ryback. Can we do this? Can we do this?
Okay, we can't beat him more.
I would definitely enjoy Heath Slater going, I'm going to be winning, and then suddenly Ryback's music.
No, no, no. The fake Charlie Sheen comes out and Slater beats him, and then Ryback kills them both.
Whee!
I almost played Don't Give Them Ideas, but I want them... WWE, take this idea, please.
Well, there's one idea they still haven't taken.
SummerSlam VRM.
I know.
SummerSlam. If they don't do it at SummerSlam with the three-hour Raws, it's got to happen.
If they don't do it at SummerSlam, then we're probably not going to get it.
No, but before we get talking too much into pay-per-views, I want to bring up the fan board's favorite wrestler. No, not Daniel Bryan. And no, not AJ.
That relieves me.
No, I'm going to speak of their Photoshop fodder, Mr. Dave Bautista, who has been teasing some big announcement the past couple of weeks on Twitter. And everybody was thinking, cool, he's coming back for Raw 1000. Because, yes, a Bautista bomb to Heath Slater is just what the show needed. But alas, Dave Smash elsewhere. He is taking a bid to go into MMA. Now, I don't have all the information, so if anybody wants to go take a look for this, I don't think he's going to UFC because they have a drug policy.
A new written drug policy.
Oh, you think a couple people might have been abusing the rules? You're a UFC guy, VRM.
And maybe. I just reported this on my show. So both UFC and Strikeforce are taking up a formal written policy that is observed by the same people that do the NFL's drug policy.
And UFC is not unionized yet, so they can do all kinds of crazy shit to their people.
Yeah, and I actually have a pretty good idea as to where they could wind up. Mm-hmm. Bellator. Have that televised and wind up on Bellator Fighting Championships once that gets off the ground in 2013. Even though the fight is coming up here on October 6th against Rashid Evans. Not Rashad Evans that you guys know and love, but a absolute nobody.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta start somewhere.
In other words, the equivalent of the jobber.
Yeah.
We.
So, yeah, we gotta start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think that's all the news that I had of news. So before we get into pickums, VRM, anything else you can think of that we need to talk about?
Nope.
Fourth?
Not that I can think of.
Then in that case, Stat Boy, please prepare your spreadsheet.
All right. The spreadsheet is prepared. I have nothing else to add, to be honest. You forgot me. You forgot Raven.
Why not Zoidberg? Anyway,
dear, this show is anemic. Five matches. One on the pre-show. This is not good, guys. And unfortunately, I can't add more on, because if I do, it'll confuse everyone out there in listening.
That's all right.
So, yes, this is WWE Money in the Bank 2012. Will they repeat last year's outing? Probably not. But will it still be good? Who knows? All right, so here we go to the opening match, the pre-show, where it is a tag team match. Apparently, it might not be for the... Oh, it is not for the titles. as Kofi Kingston and R-Truth, your WWE Tag Team Champions, face off against Hunico and Camacho. 2 points right on this. Who wins and who gets pinned?
Let's see. It's not for the titles.
Correct.
Okay. I'll call Hunico and Camacho win, and R-Truth gets pinned. VRM?
Yeah, I'm going the exact same route. Since titles are not on the line, Hunico and Camacho are going to win, and Truth was going to be staring at pretty lights.
Fourth?
I'm going to go with Kofi and Truth, and I'm going to say Hunico takes the fall.
Carl, you want in?
Yeah, sure, why not? Since it's not on title, let's get the jobbers involved. Or in this case, Hunico and Camacho. Woohoo.
And step... Go ahead.
Who stares at the pretty lights, Carl?
Me!
Pretty lights!
Was that a soundbite?
What was that?
That was not me. Whoever was, that turned into a soundbite right now.
Soundbite!
Yes.
Thank you. And if you want that again...
Pretty lights!
All right, who stares at the lights for 3 seconds plus? Beyond you, Carl.
What's that?
Who gets pinned?
Okay. Getting ganged up on. Good grief. We'll go with R-Truth. He seems to be the guy who always gets pinned.
All right. Got ya. And now to me?
Yes.
I believe that fourth is half right. Kingston and R-Truth will become the victors. However, Jobber Magoo wins over Jobber McGee in the pretty light sweepstakes. Camacho gets pinned. And now to what will probably be the opening match of the main event so that the show begins hot. The 8-man Money in the Bank ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship contract. All 8 of these guys are, well, guys who really do at least somewhat deserve the title, except for maybe one, because I screamed too soon for one of them. You know which one I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
As we have Damien Sandow, too soon! Versus Tyson Kidd, versus Christian, Santino Marella, Lord Hentai, I mean Tensai. Okay. Yeah. Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, and Sin Cara, Friendly Neighborhood Sin Cara. Who wins?
I'm going to put you on the spot, Stat Boy.
Well, considering that this is actually throwing... I hate to say it, but one of your early stories have thrown a freaking monkey wrench into my plans.
No one was hurt in the accident, so...
They're still banged up, dude.
Yeah.
But I still think that a certain man from from Cleveland, Ohio, will come out the victor. Dolph Ziggler wins. And finally, he gets pushed to the roof.
All right, VRM.
Can you say moon push Dolph, 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 1,000 times Dolph?
Forrest, do you agree?
As much as I want to make a bank on Kid joke, Mr. Zigzag is going to be showing off a spiffy blue briefcase for a few months. Dolph Ziggler's winning this.
Carl?
Very easily. Dolph! Dolph! Dolph!
I will address my pick accordingly. Excuse me!
Talk about sound bites.
But But yeah, it's, to me though, it was a really close coin toss between him and Cody. But Cody does not have a belt right now. Cody is my close second, but I'm gonna have to sweep with you guys. I'm taking Ziggler.
All right. So with that done, we get on to the first of the two title matches on the card, with Sheamus facing off against Alberto Del Rio. And I cannot roll my R's to save my life.
Oh, sorry.
Say what?
See that shiny, shiny belt and the fancy, fancy car. Anyway.
And the pretty lights. All right. Who wins?
I'm going first. Sheamus retains because Del Rio has momentum. Carl?
I'll take a swig of this Irish beer. Sheamus retains.
Aaron?
It's going to be impossible to forget a winner if we're all picking the same way.
That's all right. We'll just all fight over the belt with a trivia contest or something.
Woo-hoo! Yeah,
I gotta
go with Sheamus.
Hi, Rob. Just kidding. Enjoy your remote control. Yes. All right.
Oh, damn. Fourth.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna say Sheamus. I hate to say it, but we're gonna get the broom on this one.
Which leads me back to Statboy.
Yes, the broom is in full effect, and it's sweeping Del Rio off the mat. Yes! Sheamus retains.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I understand. Speaking of, the next title match.
All right.
And the love triangle, hopefully that will end here. They can just go back to fighting amongst themselves.
Okay.
CM Punk, your current WWE champion, faces off against your boy D-Bry. Who wins?
VRM, I'm going to start with you. I can come back to you. I've already got my answer.
Yeah, come back to me.
Okay. Statboy put me down for Daniel Bryan by DQ.
Ooh. Okay, so no matter what, that's still an answer for Bryan. For me, anyway.
Right. I mean, Punk's going to retain.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan is going to win this match. Fourth.
I'm going to say, with a little unintentional help from a crazy chick, we're going to be hearing Wagner, Daniel Bryan.
Wins outright, okay. Carl?
Not yet. CM Punk will retain and win by DQ.
VRM, you got it figured out?
Yeah, I do. Because I see the only way that we're going to get the Iron Man is Bryan wins by DQ and he goes out and complains that he should be champion because he won.
Exactly.
And that's how we're going to get to the Iron Man.
Yep. So Statboy?
I am actually going with Carl here. I am picking CM Punk to retain. Don't know how, really, and I really don't care much. I just want to see this feud end at SummerSlam as the top feud. Wait, it'll never be because Cena. Speaking of Cena, here we are. The main event of the evening. What will probably be anyway, because Lol Cena. The four-way the Fatal 4-Way Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE Championship contract is online as Big Show, King, Chris Jericho, and John Cena. Yay. We'll all face off in a, well, an epic, epic 4-Way. Now, don't forget, guys, all of our wild cards are still in play.
And what a good reason.
Yes, I actually have one, too.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Step Boy, I want to hear this.
All right, mine is probably one of the more likely scenarios because somebody's been off the shelf for a very long time. And to be honest, they're missing right now guys who can bump Yonder Jericho. Of course, I have seen a winning. What a shock. And my wild card is Rey Mysterio comes back. He is in the Raw Money in the Bank.
Interesting. Let's see. VRM, what do you got?
Well, obviously, you have to play spoiler.
Because you know,
yeah, because we know that's going to happen.
All right.
But in terms of the wild card, we need to add a heel in here. Just for if we're going to add Ray in here for shits and giggles, we need to add a heel in here for shits and giggles. What's Mr. Mizanin doing on Sunday night?
Watching
probably
the Indians.
Blowing himself
probably
up.
Being a janitor.
Watching the Indians and banging Maurice.
Because I'm going to throw my wild card down that we're going to have The Miz in Money in the Bank. Not going to do anything, but...
yeah.
I don't see Money in the Bank as a fatal four-way. It's got to have... at least six.
Yeah, they do need more people in there. Fourth, what do you got?
I'm going to say Cena wins. For a wild card, I'm just going to throw a random one out there. I'm going to say Brodus ends up fighting with Big Show all the way to the back.
Okay.
So, essentially, Brodus and Big Show go Broadway on each other.
Yep.
Or, no, not Broadway, but you know what I mean.
The show gets distracted clean out of the match.
Yeah.
Okay, who have I missed?
Hi.
Go ahead, Carl.
Well, and yes, my wild card will come into play here. Of course, Cena's going to win. But only because it's Cena, it's going to stay a fail four-way. And I'm going to throw this in here for you. There will be tables set up. And big-ass Big Show will take a bump.
Big Show takes a table bump?
Takes a table bump.
Okay. I am going against the grain. Because I believe that Big Show and John Cena will cancel each other out. I believe that Chris Jericho is pulling down that briefcase. Ooh. They've made too much of a big deal over Jericho being the originator. And that he's been in six of these. It's about time. My wild card, Big Show brings that giant-ass 350-pound ladder that he had a couple of years ago.
So, your wild card is Big Show brings back the ginormous ladder.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That huge, that enormous, you know the ladder I'm talking about,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, the one from Money in the Bank 2010.
Yeah. Because we're not going to get the spot with Big Show getting buried under 30 ladders, which was awesome. yeah, Cena doesn't need it. Granted, they wouldn't mind getting it to him and then having him feud with Rock, but I really think that they're going to do something with it with Jericho, because Jericho is in between feuds and he can have that briefcase and he can start menacing Brian and Punk. We phase out AJ. We get Jericho with either Brian or Punk for the rest of the summer through the end of the year. Hello? You might want to wipe the drool off your face there, VRM. So yes, I've probably doomed my pick'ems, but you know what? I gotta try it. Just for shiggles, this isn't for any points. What else do you think we're gonna see on this show?
Probably
less than 10,000 in capacity.
Oh. Ryback will bury someone.
You'll see Divas being ineffectual.
Primetime players will get a paycheck.
It will be just a promo, or do you think they'll actually have some sort of number one contenders tag match?
They are already number one contenders.
Yeah, but they're, you know, but I can see AW saying, you know what, you know, we deserve to be on this show. You know, bring out some tag team jobbers. We'll throw the Usos at them or something.
Click, click, rip, rip, Rick Wicket.
But is anybody else getting the pay-per-view?
Nope. Gotta work.
I will be working that Sunday.
So will I, but I'm gonna
at night.
Oh, okay. No, I'll be home and I will miss the pre-show and probably the first 15 or 20 minutes, so I'm gonna have to program my DVR and get all that in place before I go to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think I've done too much thinking tonight because my head hurts.
My head ain't gonna explode.
I'm not that bad of shape, but...
No.
But, so before we call it a night, Chief I. Muckabuck, you got anything to plug?
Let's see, besides tacos and beer? No.
Okay.
Not really.
Fair enough. VRM, you got anything to plug?
Russell Craft Sports Digest, now exclusive to podcast form on CLW83.
Yay! Oh, sorry.
And we just... and we just recorded the first episode earlier. We talked about Penn State and... somebody's in the... They're going to be losing a lot of money.
Do you think they'll actually hit them with the death penalty?
We covered that, too.
Yeah, we covered the death penalty prospects.
All right.
If they do get the death penalty, I hope they allow players to transfer.
Agreed.
We also covered, hey, guess who finally got fucking paid?
Drew Brees!
And some other news from across the ocean.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, both in France and in England.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Fourth, you got anything?
Just Typho's show, which is basically the last show on that place.
We're working on it, don't worry. Soon, my friend, soon.
And if Typho was here, we would be telling him just to get his ass in gear and come on over.
Yes.
Statboy, you got anything to plug?
Outside of Tales of the Old Gray and Purple Box is Dead? Nope.
What?
Here's the thing. Yeah. Boo it, please, because this is not my fault.
Boo! Okay.
Yeah, there's some really long and ugly things with Annie's life, and oh dear God, I'll explain it to you all off the air.
Yeah, let's not mess with this show. I have nothing to plug other than the fact that this is a wonderful show, and gentlemen, thank you for being here tonight, especially you, Carl, because otherwise there would be no record of this happening.
Yes. I pulled myself out of my funk, and I return. Thank you very much.
So, gentlemen, that's going to pretty much do it for me tonight. So, for Chief High Muckadamuck, Carl Schneer, for poor stat boy Josh Henniger, for our daydreaming VRM, and for our fourth, better known as fourth, my name is Nikki Heyman. We're going to do this again next week. But until then, enjoy.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.